whole gamut of cases. For example, I'll give you a very interesting one. A man named Casimeto the other day got his Medal of Honor, right?
Yep.
Now, did you know, or did your paper know that I'm the author of the...
I'll be honest, I didn't know.
That credit kind of slipped by and never
did. We were even wrote all in toilet paper.
How can you, how
I
can
don't
you,
know who it is.
Well, how can you catch
did
up
you
with
know
it?
That? Huh?
But I no, ask I you, know. I mean, how can you catch up with it? And that's been my problem. The problem is that I've been a very prominent senator. And it doesn't catch up with the nitty-gritty. You know, and Who's It Falls, they print it when it relates to Who's It Falls, but it doesn't catch you in the Daily News. And, you know, we can show you that in Hochberg. I don't have to give you all, look out, we've shown you. I don't want to mention the firms publicly. That's not fair to me. But you can see it, and I'm welcoming. It's good for me. So that's been my problem. My office has been known as one of the best on Capitol. The way these matters are handled with the policy, you have to have an excellent staff. And you have to make those calls or those visits that are closers. You cannot do anything. There's just too much else to do, which I do. And secondly, you may never forget when something's been done for you by any government bureau or by any department. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you can never be with them and you otherwise be against them. But there are so many nice things that can be done. Say a good word. You can be for something that otherwise you might not even think about. Pass through over your desk. It's called to your attention and you're for it anyhow. Why not help it get done? So I've saved up an enormous number of credit cards in 32 years. How about that? Lastly, you have to have very good relations with your colleagues. And those are mostly swap deals and a certain feeling that, well, we want you there. You know, you're a good man for the Senate and you're a good colleague. And that's been the case with me. I can't swap votes because I'm just not good at it. Many do it, you know. But I can swap friendships, favors, advice, a trip to make a speech. For example, what endeared me to Jerry Ford was the fact that he was having labor union trouble in his home district when he was a congressman. And he said, "You stand pretty good with labor, why don't you come out and speak?" That's it. And
I said, "No." Well, I saw him on TV, but
that was not but I began to see an opening. And so when, 1978, 1979 came around, that looked like it was, like something could be done. And I began to realize, and Nixon did, and everybody did, that it would be a tremendous asset to us, vis-a-vis the Soviet Union, if we made some normalization. They cannot disregard it. Now, I'll tell you a story which illustrates that. In 62, when I first went to the Soviet Union on a trade mission for the Congress, I spent quite a time with a man named Zhukov, who, by the way, is still alive.
Marshal Zhukov, yeah.
Well, he's a relative. And he was then commissar of some trade. And he and I, they had long before. And I had a long time with him, and at no time in that one meeting in 62 did he so much as let you peep into what he really thought. It was all a propaganda, all a lie. But at one point, I don't know what exasperated him. He was exasperated, and he said, "What would you think if you had 11 of them a country where every morning when you got up and pulled the window shade, 800 million people were peeping into your bed?" I never forgot that. Never forgot as to what they think about China. So this interested me at this particular point. Well, on one nice Wednesday, the president called us in and said in X hours he's going to announce that he's normalizing the called in leaders. What's meant by the leader when you see it, as you don't know, is it's the leaders on a particular issue. It's leadership, global leadership. So I raised the issue of Taiwan. I said, Mr. President, what are you going to do about Taiwan? He said, they've been notified. I said, that's not enough. How many, whatever you notify them about, you're never going to get us or the American people to be for dropping them on that stove. They're doing too well, and they don't deserve it. Stood by us, we have to stand by them. So he said, well, what do you think? What do you think we ought to do? And I said, we ought to find a way to maintain everything, but without breaking the so-called Nixon Accord. Remember, it was even in 72 with Chiang Kai-shek's consent saying that there are not two Chinas, there's only one China, and both accept. So he said, well, why don't you and Frank see what you can work out, Frank and the church? And so I went to work. To work up and work out the Taiwan relationship. That's how that happened. That is a very interesting document. We researched the law very carefully, and we found that a nation may maintain an unofficial relationship, which for all purposes is as valid as an official relationship. The only thing we had to change was the formula of the mutual security and the formula which I worked on, which was the most delicately balanced of all, was like UN Resolution 242 on Israel, which it said that a threat to Taiwan shall mean any effort to overturn the worst world, its social or economic, or to imperil its system of security. But that was the touchstone. In other words, that definition did. And we still have that agreement with the people of Taiwan, which is what we call the enemy, the people of Taiwan. So it's a very delicately balanced thing. That's how that went.
Your candidate is having a little difficulty with that.
My candidate has a little difficulty, but I give my candidate credit. He's a sport.
Yeah.
And I've said that publicly, and I'll say it again and again. I don't expect them to know everything about everything. And I've, you know, been in this movement a long time. I don't know everything about everything. What can I expect of him? But he was a good sport.
Good.
Great sport. I think it did him good rather than harm. That's right.
Talking about the official statement that they finally released, or
I'm talking about the fact that he backed away.
He would recognize the Taiwan relations
as unofficial. And I think that was very, very smart and very, very good.
Well, it is the law of the land.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I think, you know, he could have said, I'll try to change it. Why not? So I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, he, the actual statement was, I suppose, the Gallon people were involved in. Was in a very skillful redone document where he tried to suggest that since you have an official act of Congress under which you're operating, and that made it an official, every act under that or every relationship under that was official. So that was a rather clever way to try to deal with
it. It was pursuant to a law of the United States.
Yeah, that's right. But then in his little offhand comments later, he gets a little entangled. So
Well, he still suggested that the U.S. at the time of the recognition didn't exactly treat Taiwan as well.
Yes, I think that's what he suggested. I'll tell you one thing, they gave him damn short notice. They let him know what was in the middle of the night of it. Gave him very short notice. That alone. Pretty shocking. Well, and the reason, of course, is the same thing we have. A fear that it would be blown, that the communist Chinese would rat on it because it was blown. There have been experiences like that. We had one hell of a deal with the Russians to pulling out you in 73 or 4. And the deal was made with Kissinger by Jackson.
So part of that deal with MLN was it?
Yeah. Jackson, River Coffin, and myself. The reason I'm telling you this is to suggest that you're interested in that particular story this past year, that a woman did a PhD in it.
Oh, yeah?
Who worked with all the Senate. And that book is published. And I've used it myself because I'm writing my memoirs.
Oh, are you really? Yeah, that's fascinating.
And I have used the book because it's in my judgment and that of my assistant who's written me quite a good record. But there's a whole book out. So we negotiated through Kissinger and had a deal. And then the Russians claimed that because Scoop made some public demarche about it, that blew it, they denounced.
They wanted to do it, but they wanted to do it privately.
Right.
Oh, sure.
They denounced the trade agreement, which, you know, rejected it, and that's where we stood some of it.
And we also reneged on the whole favored nation.
Yeah, I say.
Well, that was tied in with the
Jackson event.
Yeah, with the Jackson event. That's really good.
But that whole thing that came from that.
You mean that would have evolved and come about if Jackson hadn't signed it off?
That's what they claimed, right now, mind you. Right? You know, I'm not saying it would have, but I'm only pointing out why, you know, there was this sort of voce in respect to it.
Or on foreign affairs, what kind of briefings are you all getting up to now that takes the temperature of the Soviet leadership right now, particularly in relationship to our quote-unquote new, but not so new, nuclear strategy and problems in Eastern Europe that just scare the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Possible new leadership coming on there.
We, in my judgment, and that's all I can give you, there is no clear indication yet of where the new leadership is going. The closest, in my judgment, is a continuation of somewhat the younger of the old leadership. So there's no, as far as I can see, my own opinion, try to unscramble these eggs, is that we really don't know where a new leadership is.
No, sure.
There is a leadership.
Sure.
It looks like, for the moment, out of this group, but we know that might have flashed.
Well, you know there was a policy, there was a significant
no
policy.
Significant policy change, perceivable.
Yeah.
But we know that there must be and will be, but we don't know from where.
You know, leadership, but not necessarily policy.
No,
there'll be a transition after Brezhnev, transition.
That's right. Before it gets unscrambled and somebody comes along.
They easily slide into amorphous son, after Stalin,
give you
collective leadership for
takes
a while.
That's right. You got to shake down or shake out.
And I don't have the impression that we have any clear definition of who that's likely to be.
They're probably going
to either.
Perhaps there are several men who have a clear idea of who
they
should be.
How do you feel about the general installment in Poland and then the separate issues so-called presidential directive 59?
Well, now the presidential directive 59 take a second first. At my request, we're going to have hearings. And that will be early September, so the church can get back. He didn't want us to do it. So I have to suspend judgment. As to Poland, I believe I answered it on the air. And I feel like it. I think we ought to beat the hell out of it and make the Russians, you know, very uncomfortable about it. And try to get our ally heard. We were talking about putting into salt on it. We got to pay for less than 100 million.
I suppose
I noticed the time.
In your position in the economic, you bring the economic committee, you must have a lot of ideas as to what we need in our, in terms of,
it's inadequate in terms of the target for modernization. And I would hope that we could have a multi-year program for that rather than a one-year. That's not going to miss the offer burden for a multi-year. And I would hope that we only meet political necessity through, for personal tax cuts, which are completely unjustified considering the state of inflation, to the extent of 50% instead of to the extent of 2/3. Both the president's package and the finance committee's package are 2-1. Business cuts versus personal. Also, the personal cuts should be heavily directed, if we can, toward matters which are not consumption cuts, for example, relief of taxation on interest and dividend. Very, very good thing. It's personal, but it's conducive to the other purpose, which is reindustrialization. And also, I believe very deeply new technique of labor management made, which, by the way, my
co-determination.
If I were you, I would take a look at what's happening in this state. Three cities which now have flourishing labor management committee activities. They are an orderly organization: Jamestown, Buffalo, and Elmira. Jamestown is the furthest advance, and now has made out of a very poor labor market, quite a good labor market. Elmira, or rather Buffalo, is a very big market, and an effort to tackle that is, you know, must be viewed with great respect. And in Buffalo, the two people most involved are a man named Dan Roebling, R-O-B-L-I-N, who is the industrial. A man named George Wessel, W-E-S-S-E-L-L, who's a laborer. Those are well worth.
And GM is pulling around with this up in Tarrytown,
exactly.
Too, you know.
Exactly.
Maybe not on the same large scale. This is probably community-wide.
This is community-wide.
Yeah.
But that's a very interesting
thing. I was thinking it was pursuing that story of GM, but this sounds like a hell of a lot bigger one.
What are these?
I'll tell you what they do. Labor management, and they generally they generally have municipal participation. And they deal with a number of subjects. They deal with absenteeism. They deal with alcoholism. They deal with drug addiction. They deal with recreation. And they deal in fuzzy terms with working around, which comes down to what do we get out of it if you make us more productive. So, as contrasted with what is bargained out in the collective bargaining process. And it also tends to smooth the way in the collective bargaining process. You're dealing with elements which are not at arm's length old.
I think that's, I guess that's not nearly as far along as the time.
Is that Mr. Schimmel?
Maybe Mr.
Schimmel.
I don't think that's feasible on this one. As yet, I think it's feasible on that worker on board. But you might have to deal with a lawyer. That is a very serious question. That's a fellow I'm crazy. What is the obligation that he owes the enterprise doing on his board?
What is your capacity?
Yeah,
this year we
don't
have to. This could be a problem getting Part B.
Yeah. It's already something else then.
Yeah.
We don't want to hold the senator up. Just tell him to get up here right away with something akin to that.
That's fine.
Why spell it?
I was raised as because of the.
I'd like to
mandate.
I'd like to answer that. When we did it, and I was a party to it, we did have the authorization for funds in it, you know, a couple of years. We did not have any machinery, and I blame myself for it. We did not have the machinery which would say that the machinery is suspended until there's funding. In other words, if you don't do it until you're funded. Because they're very important federal contribution, as a matter of fact. That's an excellent example of where the formulae will help us, not hurt us, with the face and the number of handicapped children compared to the number of unhandicapped. But that's the rub. The rub is that the authorization should not be honored with appropriation. Now that is less true in vocational education than it is in facilities. It's the facilities. In other words, there is some money going on in vocational education or rehabilitation. But the facilities thing is what's really hurt us.
Can you think it's right or even constitutional for city, the taxpayers here in the city of New York to be forced by federal judges to make up the difference between the amount of money that the federal government provided for this purpose. This is killing our whole school budget right now, which is very important to the city.
It's not right.
What is being done to
I will give you, in the same letter, the state of the product. I can't recall. But I'm very well aware of it. Very proud.
Isn't it better just to undo it for a money cut?
I don't think we could now do that from the point of view of, you know, some of the organizations like you to. But to start by saying we have to undo it might be a very good idea. See what I mean?
Boy.
I'm from West Bend. Been on that record for a long time. And the
why is it only happening yet? Everybody says it for West Bend almost.
The reason, first it didn't happen was that the state is the effort. You know, it's through a span of courts and stuff like that. And that was the first thing. Now, of course, you have trouble with environmental protection along the line. People tend to get harder. Proposition in direct ratio to the degree to which it becomes less popular.
And the state's defense, the state hearings, the EPA has hired people and put them in the state hearings to fight West Bend all along the way. It's one of the reasons it's taken so long. They've actually had an attorney and scarecrow guy to put on their payroll and send them to the state hearings.
Yeah, but you see, the EPA was turned down by the state. The EPA state turned it down. That's why he got rid of the guy with them.
Burley is not doing the same thing operating on the law firm.
Yeah, which the EPA is doing.
Evidently, I got a
CPA to say that the fellow who works for the EPA is not meeting my laws. Used to be my legislative agent, Chuck Long. And I knew he was deeply convinced. Environmentalist. He and his wife is much more militant than he is. But again, that's another subject which requires my attention.
So the administration, I suppose they don't consult with a member of the other party on matter language. Well, you never got consulted on the Warren appointment.
No, not particularly. Warren. He was working for the EPA when he came up. He left me. He was a very good legislative agent. I knew his weakness. I really mean it. And so, you know, if it didn't affect me, I knew where to fall apart.
Where do you...
Because in the way of being undone, we've already passed in the Senate a bill to attempt to size the ridership rather than population. You know, give up anything they've got, even if they don't deserve it. I'm very serious. Very tough. Very tough. So it's difficult, but we've done it from the Senate there. And that's a good bill, very good bill for New York. And, you know, we do our utmost to get it done. And we ought to be an easier job in the House, which is based on population, than in the Senate, where you have 26 small states, a small area. So that part of it, I think, is along. There are other formulae that are very, very difficult, very troublesome. Again, because people have to do something about it. And we're simply going to have to fight it through on the basis of population. That, the main base for that is in the House. Now, just as you saw, just the House turned down an effort to open up what I have negotiated myself in the Windfall Prophecy, which is home heating for the poor, in order to give everybody a piece of it, which was wrong, because it's
can't believe it.
Oh, boy. Because if I had the stuff for that particular issue, I wouldn't have to ask you. I mean, there must be a way to glamorize that issue so that you would know that I'm a leader, which I don't have. Being very honest. My way was to find other programs that will bring New York money other than the welfare reform, because I couldn't get anywhere with welfare. Now we've got Pat in there. Now Pat's had 4 years, and he's on the committee, right? Yeah. And he, like me, I'm the author of a welfare bill. You know, you can have a copy of it if you want to. I have one all the time, and I work for it. Pat will tell you he hasn't gotten anywhere either, and he's very frustrated. It's a tough one because it's a big thing to give up for senators who don't need it. You know, the guys. And these oil states sure don't need it. But, you, and
but
not
maybe
only,
one of the elements you just mentioned, well, he's on the committee, and you were headman on labor and public welfare.
That doesn't
what
have
we,
jurisdiction.
What do we call that now?
Labor and human resources.
Labor and human resources now. No, I know it doesn't. It's an answer. But there are a lot of New York City, New York State oriented issues.
I got a lot with them. Many
but why would you, rather than what might be called you?
I'm very high up on it. I'm a senior member. There's nobody with more seniority than I on the committee, except maybe on the Democratic side, Jennings Randolph, maybe slightly similar than I'm the ranking member of the one committee which is most important for New York, and that is the employment subcommittee. I'm the ranking member. I did give up the ranking membership, and I'll tell you why. I gave it up in favor of foreign relations for the reason that I believe, and I still believe,